We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway.
Get up or get out the way, Trae Young.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Pat. This is trade deadline week, folks. We're talking to you with the Bulls.
Yes.
At 19 and 23 overall. They are currently the 9 seed in the Eastern Conference. For the first time in league history, that would mean the Bulls season wouldn't be over. If the season ended today, they would be in the play-in tournament. 7, 8, 9, and 10, as a reminder, are in the play-in tournament. The bottom of the Eastern Conference standings right now, let's run through it real quickly, Jason.
Trash.
Well, first of all, at the top, it's the Sixers. They're 30 and 13. Then we got the Nets at 29 and 14. The Bucks at 28 and 14, and then a huge drop off. The Hawks are the fourth seed at one game over 500, 22 and 21. Then the Hornets are the 5 seed. They're going to be without LaMelo Ball for at least a month, maybe all season. The Heat are the 6th seed at 500. The Knicks are the 7th seed at 500. The Celtics are one game over 500 as the 8th seed. The Bulls are 4 games under 500 as the 9th seed. You got the Pacers as the 10 seed, the Raptors as the 11 seed. So that's sort of what the outlook is like right now, heading into trade deadline week. Today, there was actually some buzz around the Bulls for the first time. Not a ton of buzz, but Shams Charania reported that the Bulls are willing to listen to offers for Lauri Markkanen. I believe Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report reported that the Bulls and Pelicans have discussed a Lowry for Lonzo deal. I also heard that from another source that is a deal that, you know, is pretty much on the table. Right now, it appears that the Pelicans want more than just Lauri Markkanen for Lonzo Ball. You know, we've talked about that trade going down as an offseason sign-in trade the whole year, I feel like. We mentioned that like 8 months ago. I think that that's still a possibility. But the trade deadline's Thursday afternoon, and we just might see something this time, Jason, and I really hope we do, because this team has a long way to go, and they are not particularly close to anything that is worth writing home about.
Yeah, they got to do something. I guess just a quick recap of the games that have been played recently. Last night, we're recording right now on Tuesday night, so that's Monday night. The Bulls got their absolute ass kicked by the league best Utah Jazz. Not really surprising. Second of a back-to-back. I guess they played a back-to-back, and it basically was just kind of epitomized, just kind of how the season has gone. On Sunday night, they played the Pistons. They won by 14 in a game that I really didn't even care about after my Illini embarrassed themselves against Loyola, but that's, maybe we'll talk about that later. The Bulls won that game 100-86. It was bad at the start. I think they pulled away in the second half. The Pistons shot like 4-25 from three. The Pistons are a terrible team. They're one of the worst teams in the NBA. Bulls looked ugly beating them. Good for them. Whatever. The Bulls have done well against bad teams all season. I believe they're 15-7 against teams over or under 500. They've been bum slayers. So then they get a chance the next night against the Utah Jazz at the end of a road trip to at least be competitive, maybe get a win. Because I mean, the few times the Bulls have played good teams, we saw them choke a game away against the Nuggets and choke away a game against the Spurs. So you get another chance to play a good team. They were kind of close to start. They were up 3 points when Zach LaVine went to the bench at the end of the first quarter. Then the Jazz went on a 19-0 run, and the game was basically over from there. The Jazz won by 25, 120-95. So just another loss to a team over 500. That puts the Bulls now at 4-16 against over 500 teams. So, yeah, I mean, they can't beat good teams. They have been a bit more competitive. They've had some chances, but again, they've had these meltdowns late in games that has cost them. Again, the Jazz game, there was nothing like that, but those prior few games that happened, that Spurs game, that prior Nuggets game, we've seen them lose some close games. But either way, they're not winning against good teams, and that has been a trend since they started their rebuild. I tweeted this on Friday night after they blew that game against the Nuggets, that the Bulls are something like, obviously it's changed, I think they might be 123 and 121 now, something like that, against teams 500 or better since they traded Jimmy Butler and started this rebuild. And obviously, like, when you start a rebuild, you're going to be bad against bad teams or against good teams. But like, they've just been so spectacularly bad where they, like, a lot of times even bad teams can catch good teams on off nights. They take them lightly, whatever, and they get lucky, rack up some wins. And the Bulls, that record again now is, I think, 23 and 121 against teams 500 or better in the last four seasons. And that I think that does kind of show you how, even though the Bulls are better now, they are definitely better. They're more competent. They take care of business against these bad teams. They still are far away from actually being like really good contenders. They have a really good player in Zach LaVine. They have some nice veterans, but I mean, they still can't win these games against good teams. And so right now they find themselves in this kind of weird spot with this trade deadline coming up where, again, they are better. They're more competent. They have a better coach. They have an all-star player. They have some good veteran players, but they're in the spot where they're like, they're kind of almost like in the play-in by default at this point. The Raptors are 2.5 games behind them as the 11. They might be selling. Like, Kyle Lowry and Norman Powell might be getting traded. I know they still have, like, Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby. So they have still have some decent players there that maybe they'll figure some stuff out after they had this just issue with COVID. But, I mean, they've lost 9 in a row. They just lost to the Rockets, who had lost 20 in a row coming into that game. So, like, the Raptors seem like they're in free fall. Pascal Siakam apparently got into it with Nick Nurse the other game. So, like, the Bulls have a tough schedule on paper coming up in the second half here. But, like, they even if they struggle, like, they still might get this 10 seed. So, like, they're just kind of in this weird spot again where they have a star player with Zach, but, like, the veterans have been propping them up. But then the young guys have kind of stagnated. So, I feel like a lot of people would be happier with this Bulls team if they had this record, but it was because, like, Lauri Markkanen took a legitimate big step and Kobe White was looking good as the point guard and Wendell was cementing himself as the center of the future. Instead, it's Zach being good is awesome. Like, that's great. Fantastic. And, like, Thaddeus Young's been super fun to watch. But, like, when it's been the veterans kind of propping up the team plus Zach and the young guys have stagnated, it's kind of like, so where exactly do we go from here? So, like, you're at this point, do they sell the veterans? Like, do you trade a Thad Young? I mean, all the reporting out there says the Bulls do not want to trade Thad Young. He's too good. He's been too good on the court. He's been too good in the locker room. But, like, I know Zach Lowe said that they should be able to get a first-round pick for him. Like, if someone puts a first-round pick on the table, like, do you really pass that up for chasing what they're doing right now? We've talked about it. We're like, do you keep that young around to, like, make Zach LaVine happy for this playoff race? I don't really know. Like, I mean, Otto is obviously available. He's out there. You mentioned Jake Fisher's reporting, like, Otto's available. He brought up, like, trying to trade for somebody like DeMar DeRozan or Harrison Barnes if you're, like, trying to buy. We brought up DeMar DeRozan on, I think, our last Locker Room podcast as a possible option. Like, I mean, sure, he would obviously bring a juice added talent to the team. He's had a really good passing season. He is going to be a free agent. Apparently, in that same article, Jake Fisher said DeRozan is looking to leave San Antonio, who he wants a team. He wants to be back in the Eastern Conference. He brought up the Bulls, the Knicks, and the Magic as, like, suitors. So, like, I mean, maybe you look at something like that. The Barnes thing, I know the Celtics were in on him. It seems like the Celtics are focusing on Aaron Gordon right now. We'll see if that pans out. I mean, it sounds like the Kings want a lot for Barnes. The Kings are kind of in a similar place with the Bulls, where there might be a kind of delusional team trying to make a run for this play-in or whatever, except, I mean, obviously way harder in the West. So the Bulls are in a spot where they can decide to go in a few ways. I just want to see them do something. The bottom line is they got to do something with this roster. You can't just kind of go chilling through this trade deadline. They got to do something, whether it's selling guys, whether it's trying to add talent, whether it's a guy like Lonzo Ball, whether you go after some other talent. We'll talk about the Pacers apparently are listening on Malcolm Brogdon. I know you tweeted about Malcolm Brogdon, about going after him. Like we thought maybe they could go after him a couple years ago when he was a free agent. Or maybe you do a bit or both. Maybe you trade Lowry, but then you try to trade him for more talent, or you try to thread the needle somehow. Either way, I just do not want to see them sleeping through this trade deadline. They had a quiet offseason. We gave them the benefit of the doubt. You make the, you do those small moves in the offseason. Now with this trade deadline, after you've seen what the season has become, you need to just make some moves on this roster is the bottom line.
Yeah, I think, you know, tying it back to where we were after Karnišovas got the job and decided to stand pat with the roster entering the season, immediately it became a season of evaluation, right? And for Bulls fans, that's kind of a triggering word, because I feel like at the end of the year press conference every year, John Paxson would go up there and be like, well, we still don't know what we have in Jerian Grant, and we still don't know what we have in Cameron Payne, because everyone's always hurt and everyone sucks. Well, if this has been an evaluation season, Jason, what do we know? We know that Zach leveled up. Zach is 25. He just turned 26, actually. Became an all-star just before his 26th birthday. So Zach now, you know, when we've been doing these episodes in the past, it's like, well, should they trade Zach? What should we get for Zach? Zach sort of made the decision for the Bulls. And now he is a guy who you're going to build around, unless someone offers you just a huge package of picks, which definitely doesn't seem like it's going to be on the table at this trade deadline. I'd be surprised if it's even on the table in the offseason, but maybe it will be. Who knows what's going to happen in the offseason? The point is, though, that Zach did establish himself as a piece to build around and as a piece to be here long term, if he chooses to be, because he is going to be a free agent. And if the Bulls choose to, you know, enter a long term commitment to him. So Zach did it. The rest of these guys did not. Lauri Markkanen is shooting the hell out of the ball. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. I know he's been he was terrible last night, and he's been a week and a half or so.
Yeah.
But I believe his true shooting percentage is still like 65 or something. Like, it's really good. It's better than it's ever been before. And what's sort of funny to me is that, like, now that he's shooting better than ever, and he's still not that good, it sort of crystallizes more than ever that they need to move on from him, because he's never going to be a guy who's consistently like putting up 65 true shooting percentage. And even if he is, he's still not really a positive impact guy on the court. I mean, we've seen times where he's not closing games. We've seen times where you have little guards just like bodying him at the rim, even when he's shooting well. And finally, for once in his career, finally, Lauri Markkanen shooting well. He's still not that good. So I think, you know, that's a bullet point. Wendell Carter, huge disappointment. I think that he's by no means, are we writing him off as an NBA, a future good NBA player? I think it's possible he could get to starter level, maybe above average starter level. But at the end of the day, dude, I mean, he's a center who's small, who can't shoot, who has no confidence. You know, I think he's pretty good as a pick and roll defender. I think that his passing, whilst underwhelming what I thought, given my expectations for him in the draft process, it's solid but unspectacular. And Carter has certainly not proven himself to be the long-term option at center during this year. I mean, just no way. He's been disappointing. I know it seems like the Bulls internet is always arguing about Wendell Carter, and people get so passionate. I used to be a passionate proponent of Wendell. At this point, I'm like, I don't know, bro. You're not that good. So prove to me that you're good. We shouldn't have...
He's a guy. He's just a guy. He's. I don't think he's bad.
We shouldn't have Bulls podcasters believing in Wendell Carter Jr. more than he believes in himself. That's all I'm going to say. And then we got Coby White. Obviously, you know, 20 years old, position change this year, playing the point guard. His numbers are not bad. You know, you could sell him to another team, perhaps, on his youth, his draft pedigree, his quote-unquote size. He doesn't really have size, but he's listed at 6'5". Some outside shooting ability. But man, has he been rough this year. And the team has just sucked with him on the floor. I mean, it is night and day when Kobe's on the floor to when Kobe's off the floor. And I still think Kobe could be... I might actually be higher than a lot of Bulls fans on Kobe long-term. That doesn't mean I would keep him. I think
It just seems like he's got a point guard.
He's not a point guard. And I do think that, like, you know, just his ability to get up threes at a high rate is going to be huge for him moving forward. And the fact is, like, most NBA players aren't good when they're 20. I think that a lot of people are just too impatient.
Right.
But here's the thing. The Bulls are at a point where they want to start making a move. So, you know, I think all these guys should be on the table. Wendell, Lowry, Kobe, they can all go.
Yeah, here, yeah,
as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, obviously you got something to say. So what's up?
Yeah, I was going to say just the timing of it all. With Zach LaVine becoming who he is and with his free agency coming up, you're at a point where you just can't wait on these guys anymore. Like Kobe White, maybe he does turn into a good point guard. I mean, I was saying he's not a point guard. Maybe someday he does become a good point guard. But like, how long can you wait on that? Because right now he's a total disaster. Starting off the bench, disaster. I mean, this last game against the Jazz, Zach goes off the floor, the bench comes in, and they literally did not score a point until Zach, I think, either came back in the game or like right before he came back in. That was like 5 minutes where they did not score. That's obviously not on Kobe, all on Kobe White. There's some goofy lineups Donovan's been running with, like Arch and Denzel, and Denzel chucked Arch had two consecutive air balls in the first quarter. Denzel missed like three consecutive threes in the second quarter. Lowry couldn't do a damn thing either when he was out there. Lowry had one of his worst games of the year against the Jazz, except he denied Rudy Gobert's triple double of blocks because he somehow forced his last shot and Gobert blocked it, but it somehow still got in anyways. But it's just the timing of it all. With Zach being so good, you just can't wait on all these guys at this point. Like, yeah, maybe Wendell does get better. Like, he's with his injury problems, he's basically played like what, a season and a half worth of NBA games. This is Lowry's fourth year, so you're coming up on his restricted free agency, so you really can't wait on that anymore. And he hasn't shown enough where you can like, you're going to like want to meet his demands as a restricted free agent. Like, I have no idea what he's going to get at this point, given what he's shown and his own injury problems. But like, yeah, you're just at a point where you're just like, you've had this core for 2, 3, 4 years going back to the Jimmy Butler trade. And it's just, you haven't had enough success. You need to start getting guys to win now with Zach LaVine. If you are planning on basically building around him, and I think we both agree that at this point they should, they have an all-star in him and they should look to start improving around him. And that means probably just moving on from at least one of Lowry and Wendell. Like I said, as you said, I'm good. Like, looking to include all of them in deals to make upgrades, however you want to do that. Like I said, maybe you can still sell. Again, these Kobe is 20, Wendell is what, 21, 22, Lowry is 22, 23. I mean, maybe you can still sell some of the other teams and get more assets, consolidate them into a really good player. It's just the timing of it all. Like, if this was maybe like year one or year two of the rebuild and you don't have a legit stud in Zach who's got a free agency coming up, you can be a bit more patient. But right now, it's just hard to be patient, and it's hard to watch these guys falter just like over and over again. I mean, Wendell Carter in the Nuggets game the other night during this collapse, I think it was during the collapse, couldn't make a layup over, what's his name, Facundo Campazzo. Like, he blows a layup. He had Campazzo like buried under the basket, and he blows the layup over him. I mean, we saw Lowry against the Spurs, like couldn't post up against Derek White and guys like that who were like switching on him. And Lowry was also bad in the Nuggets game. Both Lowry and Wendell were benched for like down the stretch and into overtime. I believe Reinhard Giacchino closed overtime in that Nuggets game. Like, I mean, what are we doing here at this point when like those, like your supposed young front court core is benched in overtime, and Reinhard Giacchino is closing games like over Kobe White in the overtime. And then against the Jazz, Lowry was off the court for like 13 straight minutes. They asked him about it afterwards. They asked Billy about it, and it was basically, you know, I trust Billy, blah, blah, blah. It's totally fine. I mean, it almost kind of seems like these young guys are like barely hanging on here, with Kobe and Wendell getting benched, playing poorly, with Lowry going through these long stretches where he's getting benched. It just seems like where are we going with these guys at this point? So you have to consider making moves. I mean, there's just only so much time, and I feel like Zach's probably getting frustrated a bit as well, and that's why I do wonder, like, if they did trade like Thad Young, if that would just like, and they started bottoming out again, like, would Zach just get really pissed off about that? So again, that's something I feel like you do have to consider when you're thinking about selling these young guys. So like, if we're looking at going the other way and maybe adding some talent to this team, you definitely want to add, if you're adding talent, you do want to add guys who, not just like rentals. Like, you're not going to, I don't think you're looking to add Kyle Lowry. And it sounds like Kyle Lowry is either going to Philly or Miami, maybe LA. Those teams have been mentioned over and over again. But like, let's bring up the Malcolm Brogdon thing. I know you wanted to talk about this. You tweeted about it. I tweeted about it. Vinny Goodwill reported at Yahoo Sports today that the Pacers are listening on Malcolm Brogdon pitches and that maybe Sabonis could be available as well. I'd be shocked if the Pacers traded Sabonis. I mean, I'm surprised that they're – I mean, I guess listening on Brogdon could mean anything. That could mean a team is calling up to see what they'd say about it. And they're like, oh, I mean, here, sure, we'll listen to what you have to say. And then basically saying, no, we're not really trading him. You never know with these things, with these leaks. There's always an agenda with stuff getting out these days. I feel like I would still be surprised if the Pacers traded either of those guys. They have struggled this year. They are only 19-23, but they did just get Caris LeVert back. I guess part of the report was that they think Caris LeVert can play point guard, and that's why they'd be fine moving on from Brogdon. I don't know about that. I mean, LeVert has obviously had a crazy health issue with the kidney cancer thing, but he's had health issues throughout his career. I just don't know if he's actually that good. So, like, again, I feel like that somewhat skeptical but that the Pacers would actually move him. But if they are listening, the Bulls should absolutely be calling. We talk about the Bulls needing a legitimate point guard upgrade. Malcolm Brogdon is not an all-star. He's not the best point guard. He has his own injury problems, but he is a damn good player, super efficient, can shoot, play on and off the ball. He's a decent defender. I thought he was a guy the Bulls should have gone after in free agency when he went to Indiana and the Bucks sent him there in a sign and trade in the first place. So, Ricky, what would you trade for Malcolm Brogdon? What do you think the Pacers would want or would want in a possible trade?
Yeah, we talked about Brogdon a lot when he was a free agent. And, you know, that was the offseason the Bulls eventually signed Thad and Sato. And at the time, I feel like we were like, well, you know, Brogdon has just been a spot-up shooter in Milwaukee. I believe he was coming off a 50-40-90 season in his last year with the Bucks.
Yes.
And yep. He had never really handled any sort of full-time playmaking burden at all. He was mostly a 3-and-D spot-up shooting guard. And that is not the type of player he's been in Indiana. In Indiana, Brogdon has developed into sort of a lead engine of an offense. And you look at his numbers this year, and they're absolutely tremendous. He's averaging over 20 points a game. You know, really is putting up like all-star numbers. I have a stats page here, but my computer is just absolutely crawling. So I'm getting very frustrated trying to cite his numbers. He's putting up a great year, right? And when we talk about the type of player the Bulls really need to get this thing to the next level, I think Malcolm Brogdon's exactly the type of guy. Because I do think that he could fill your need as a playmaker. I think that he pairs very well with Zach in the backcourt because he's a strong defensive guard. He's still a great spot-up shooter who could play off the ball. You know, he might not have the most juice in terms of like being a primary creator, but he's good. He's damn good at it, even if he isn't, you know, the type of guy who's going to lead you to having a great upside. So I would be all in on Malcolm Brogdon. I think Malcolm Brogdon would be terrific. And the fact that the Bulls didn't sign him in free agency in 2019 was a huge mistake. I personally didn't think they should at the time because I didn't think he could be this type of player as an on-ball threat. But he's proven it over the last, you know, year and a half with the Pacers. So I tweeted today that I would give up the Bulls' first-round pick, which currently would be slated to be number 11 overall, that should be a pretty valuable asset, in either Lowry or Kobe plus salary filler to get it done. The more I think about it, I'd give up Lowry and Kobe and the pick to get him. That might be a lot, and I think that most people listening to this podcast would say that that's probably too much. But here's the thing. Like, so many of these guys we're talking about are not game changers. And Brogdon is a legitimate game changer. I mean, I said I had his page pulled up here and it's crawling, but he's 28 years old.
I got it.
Yeah. He's 28. He'll be 29 next December. He's under contract through next season. And then he's got two more.
Does he have a player option then? Cause it was, he signed a 4-year deal, two right? More. With the pace. That's two. Yeah. He should have two more. He might have
two
a player
more.
Option.
So I think he could be a good fit long-term next to Zach. I mean, they're pretty much on the same timeline. And yeah, I think that if the team is really going to do like a consolidation trade and, you know, move the asset, like combine young pieces and get a player, like obviously you dream of landing someone who's at least an all-star level player, and Brogdon hasn't quite been that yet, but he's good enough to be an all-star. He plays like an all-star, even if he hasn't been named one. So I would absolutely offer a big package for Malcolm Brogdon. And I understand the hesitation on offering, you know, two pieces from the core out of Kobe, Lowry, and Wendell. And I understand the hesitation with offering the draft pick. But I think I would be fine with it because I think Brogdon is a tremendous on-court fit. I think he would fill the Bulls' biggest need. I think he'd be a long-term piece. I think, you know, he'd have his best years still in front of him in Chicago. And you get him and Zach, now your backcourt set. Pat is only going to get better in terms of Patrick Williams. You know, we talk about how young he is every time we talk about him, but he's already able to hold his own most of the time. And you think that, you know, hopefully he takes a big leap next year and the year after that and the year after that. And then you got Carter, who, you know, he'll be playing for a contract next year. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Carter could take a leap next year, find another wing. I think that that could be a middle tier Eastern Conference playoff team. Is that good enough for you? Is it not good enough for you? We can debate that. But for how sorry the Bulls have been since the Butler trade, I think a Brogdon-Levine team would be really, really fun. And Kobe White sucks. And Lauri Markkanen sucks. And, I mean, they've blown it so many times with draft picks recently. So why not do a trade like that? I think that that would be a really exciting, fun trade if the Bulls were to do it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So Brogdon this year, I got his numbers. 21.6 points per game, 6.1 assists, 4.7 rebounds, 46% field goal, 39.8% three-point shooting. He's a great free throw shooter, doesn't get there that often. Good for a true shooting, I believe, of like 56-57. I feel like as the 56.3, as like the lead guy on a Pacers offense that's like just okay. Like, I feel like that's pretty solid given like the load he has. If he's playing next to Zach, I feel like he'd become even more efficient. The fit, I think, there just does make sense. Like, he is bigger.
Six,
he's like
6'5", so like strong. He's yeah, jacked 6'5",
like pretty strong. Yeah. So like that, I think that fit there just makes a lot of sense between with Zach, where he could at least play some defense. He can play on and off the ball again. He makes better decisions. So I think it would make sense. Looking at that trade, I do think you'd probably maybe want to protect the pick maybe like to the top five, top three, like especially if you're giving up both. Like if you're giving up both young guys, like I feel like you're definitely protecting the pick. Maybe you don't if you're only giving up one of them. Some give and take there. Because, I mean, you do – if the Bulls somehow – I mean, if they get – even if they get in the play-in, if they lose right away, they still would, I believe, get into the lottery. So like I feel like you do have to protect yourself somehow.
Yeah.
Like, in case
I agree.
You did win the lottery and like you get in you for the Cade sweepstakes. So like at least protect it to like top three. Yeah. But I mean, in terms of like giving up the other guys, yeah, I'd absolutely be fine giving up any of those young guys in a Brogdon trade. Just like I said, in general, I do think the Bulls should protect themselves with if they're looking to give up first round picks, like no matter who they trade for, because I don't think there's really anybody on the table, like superstar wise, where you're willing to give up unprotected
every pick
where the Bulls are
from
at.
A team that's the caliber of the Bulls gets protected when it gets traded. So
yeah
I mean, right. I would do top three if that would make him agree to the deal rather than top five. I think the top three of this draft is more special than the top five. So I think that if you could do a top three protected pick, it'd be a lot to give up for Malcolm Brogdon. But here's the thing: maybe the Pacers actually say yes.
Ooh.
You know, like you got to get him to say yes somehow.
Yeah. I mean, and to the point about like, well, like where will they top out as next year? Well, it's like, well, I mean, maybe they're like a 40 some win team and like maybe they get into like the top four or five, like legitimately. And then that maybe that helps probably with Zach and keeping him. And then maybe you attract another player to come in the future. Again, given where the Bulls are, there's just no like real quick fix. And with Zach there, you're not going to tank. You'd have to like basically do like an accidental tank and then get super lucky in the draft. And the Bulls just have not gotten lucky. They, again, since rebuilding and doing this whole trade, the Bulls have been terrible. They've had this terrible record. And what do they have to show for it from the draft? They have Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. and Kobe White. And we're now talking about getting rid of all these guys. And then Patrick Williams, obviously, as well. And Pat, who is, I mean, for all intents and purposes, is untouchable. I know Zach Lowe reported that teams are calling the Bulls about Patrick Williams and they're shutting them down. Obviously, that's basically the case. Like, unless the Bulls are trading for a actual superstar, you're probably not trading Patrick Williams. But yeah, so like, are you really going to play the draft game with Zach LaVine on board? No, like probably not. So like, you have to at least get to probably like decent to, even if it's like mediocrely decent, before then you take that next step to the next level. And I think adding Malcolm Brogdon would probably do that. Any other, like, after, what do you like? I know we talked about DeRozan. Like, what do you think about DeRozan? Like, what would you think about Harry B., Harrison Barnes, or if they maybe went hard after like an Aaron Gordon? I know Gordon apparently really wants to play for a contender. I don't know if Aaron Gordon can be making those kind of demands at this point, but like any of these other guys on the market, John Collins, I think we talked about before we started this. Like, he's kind of in a similar spot with Lowry, except he's definitely a little better, but he like wants a max deal. Like, I don't know if anyone's paying John Collins a max at this point. So like any of these other guys, moving past Brogdon, if we're looking at the Bulls to add talent and the talent that they can keep around for at least the next year, or next couple of years, and not just be a rental, like anyone else really stand out to you? And we've obviously talked about Lonzo enough. We don't have to talk about him anymore.
No, I don't really want any of those other guys for what it's going to take yet. But at the same time, I mean, if you can trade Kobe for Harrison Barnes, maybe you do that. To me, that's
the Kings aren't doing that. The Kings have De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton.
Sure.
Why would they trade for Kobe White?
yeah, I don't know. While I do want the Bulls to make a move, it's like, to me, there's not many that are going to be true game changers. Now, maybe some could be addition by subtraction. Right. And, you know, maybe you could get a pick swap in the future out of something. Like, there's ways to get a good return in terms of value. If you get creative with it. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't want Aaron Gordon. Do you? That name is a little bit interesting to me just because he's 25, because he is really athletic. But he's someone who's scored at below average efficiency his entire career in terms of his true shooting percentage. This year, he's actually shooting threes. He's making 40% of his threes on four attempts a game. But, you know, it's like, how impactful is he really? And I still don't know. Like, if he's on the Bulls, where do you play him? Are you starting a lineup with Wendell, Aaron Gordon, and Pat? I feel like that might be just like a little bit too big and slow. Well, not big enough at center, but.
And that's kind of almost what like that's kind of what the Magic have been doing.
Right.
Because I feel like Gordon's been kind of like out of place, because they've had all these big guys with like Vucevic, and when they had Jonathan Isaac playing, and then they would have like Gordon playing the three. And I feel like that's been one of his problems.
Right.
He should be playing the four or five. When someone brought it up, I was thinking they just play really small.
Gordon
and they play
five.
Pat, Gordon, Zach. You get a point guard, you get another winner, and that's how you play that. In some matchups, maybe you play bigger, but I would play small and
Gordon
super
at the five is interesting. And if you look at his play, like his position where he's played on Basketball Reference, he's like barely played any center in his entire career. So I think that could be really interesting. I don't know where Gordon currently stands as a passer. He has the highest assist rate of his career this year, but like, you know, could he be sort of that release valve passer that everyone's looking for in a modern center right now? Could he basically go to school under Thad Young, who's also sort of a similar size as Gordon?
Right, yeah, and you're basically hoping he's supercharged Thad.
Because he's much more athletic. But Thad is just so freaking crafty. It's like, how do you possibly rise to the level of Thad Young's craft? It's something that, you know, it's taken him over 1,000 NBA games and whatever. And yeah, just years and years and years of improving his game and having the mindset to do it and all that. So yeah, no one else really jumps out to me as being a great fit. Now, like, if you want to talk about about Lonzo versus Brogdon, my like last two cents on this is that, to me, Lonzo is a connecting piece. So you want studs around Lonzo, and you want Lonzo to just sort of connect the dots. You know where I like, you know, if you look at a team like maybe Denver, I think he'd be really good in Denver, playing next to MPJ, Jokic, Jamal Murray. With the Bulls, it's like you almost need more from him than just being a connecting piece, because the Bulls don't have any stars besides for Zach. So if I'm deciding between Brogdon and Lonzo, I definitely want Brogdon. To me, that's a no-brainer. And I like Lonzo. I'd be all for landing Lonzo, but no-brainer to me of getting Brogdon. And take it a step further, you know, if you could keep Lowry out of a Brogdon trade, and this Brogdon trade probably isn't going to happen, so we shouldn't be talking about it so much, but just hypothetically, I would get both Brogdon and Lonzo.
Hey, it's trade deadline.
I would get Brogdon and Lonzo.
Yeah, why not?
Play all three. Exactly.
You could play all three together, and then play all three together. You play Pat at the four, and you whatever. You have Wendell at the five or Thad at the five for right
now. That's what I would do. And, you know, that could be the team next year, too. I'd flip the first-round pick just in terms of this draft class. I don't know. I don't think it's as exceptional as a lot of other people do. I think that outside of the top, you know, seven, eight guys, and I don't even love Kuminga that much. Don't love Jalen Green that much. I think Suggs would be amazing. Mobley is going to be a superstar. Cade's going to be a superstar. But, you know, I would like Moses Moody. That's the other guy who I really like in this draft. He's on Arkansas. He's playing in the Sweet 16. I think Moody would be the guy I would want the Bulls to take if they were keeping their pick and, you know, entering the draft with a selection around number 10, let's say. But, you know, if they're picking 13, 14, it's like, dude, who cares? Like, trade this pick, get a good player. I don't care if Brogdon is 28. He'd be a great fit with Zach. So if I'm the Bulls, I'm looking at that deal right now. Get that done right now, I'm looking at that deal in the offseason. So that would be a player I would really like. And yeah, I'm fine with Lonzo too. But if Brogdon is attainable at all, I think it's worth it to push in all your assets for him. That's just my two cents. I'm sure a lot of listeners might think that would be too much to give up a pick, Lowry and Kobe. But I would be very tempted to do it. So
I do like the idea of trading for both of them. All guys are what, 6'5", 6'6"? And then you have Pat at the four. What is he, 6'7", 6'8"? Seems like he's better as a four. And then you have whatever, Wendell, Thad playing center. I think that'd be a pretty fun lineup. I'd be at least very interested to watch the rest of the season how they do. Like, I would, sure, why not? Like, and then you see where that goes from there. Go for it. Let's do it. Trade for both of them. Why not? I guess back to the Aaron Gordon thing. I think I'd be really intrigued by him as well, playing like a small athletic lineup. But I think it does seem like it's going to take way too much to get him, like multiple first round picks. Like, I don't know if Gordon's worth that much. I mean, maybe, I don't know. It seems like a lot of people have just been waiting for him to be like fully unlocked, and it's just like never really happened. You mentioned he's been putting up better numbers this season. I think, like I said, I think it'd be interesting. It doesn't seem like that's something that's really on the table for the Bulls right now. I'm trying to think, like, other options. Like, are there any other like young players that like they could take a chance on? We talked about Lonzo, obviously, but like, I feel like I've read on like the Bulls boards, like people talking about Cam Reddish. And I know Cam Reddish is available. I've never been a Cam Reddish guy. He was terrible at Duke. He's been terrible in his NBA career so far. He's hurt right now. But like, I think I saw on Bloggable and like the comment section, people talking about, oh, like I would trade like Lowry or Lonzo or Lowry or not Lonzo, Kobe for, I think it was Lowry for Cam Reddish. Like, would you like, are there like any young guys you would take a flyer on? Like, even like Jarrett Culver has been really struggling. Or like, do you think like any of these guys who could maybe use like a change of scenery, any young guys like that, like who, because they've been so bad. I know like you were a big Jarrett Culver guy in the draft, and he's just like totally flopped in Minnesota. Sucks. Yeah, he's bad. Like Reddish has been brutal. I thought he was brutal at Duke, and he's been brutal in the NBA. And a lot of people I think are like hanging their head on his NBA body, and his jump shot looks nice, but it just like never ever goes in. Like any other young guys like that you could think of, maybe you'd take like a flyer on something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would take a flyer on Culver. To me, that would be pretty good. He's been brutal to start his NBA career. Yeah. I mean, just brutal.
And so was
just brutal. So, yeah, I mean, if you could get a guy like that, I would maybe try to buy low on that. Like, I'd still probably, I would be tempted to trade Kobe for Reddish. I think maybe the Hawks would take that. I don't know. I would have to do a deeper dive into both those guys, how they've been so far in the NBA. Yeah. But Culver's been terrible. And that's been really tough for my ego because I was high on him in the draft. with that being said, yeah, I don't know. Those two guys aren't immediately jumping out to me. And I don't think there's going to be action like that at the trade deadline. I think that, you know, at this point, we might as well start looking into guys we want next offseason, like in the offseason. And maybe the offseason is when they could make some of those moves. But as for right now, not really. I mean, what about Bogdanović from Atlanta? Would you go after someone like that?
Oh, yeah. He was reported. I mean, I guess I'd be surprised if the Hawks were bailing on that already. I know he was hurt to start the year. I know he hasn't been very good, but like, it seems like it'd be surprising that first year, like just after all that hubbub with his offseason, then to just turn around, especially with them playing better now, I feel like they'd want to give it more of a chance. Like, I understand Reddish has been awful and they have all these wings. They have Hunter who just got back. They have Bogdanović. They have Kevin Herter. Gallo has been kind of a mess for them, but they are back like in the four seed. They went on that long winning streak and they should have won. They should have beat the Clippers the other night and they totally choked away a 20-point lead in the second half. I mean, I would think about Bogdanović. Like, he's just he's a pretty solid scorer. I mean, he seems like he'd be like an AK kind of player, not just because he's European, but just like shooter, pretty solid, decent playmaker. Not great, but like just a secondary playmaker, passer type. He can when he gets going, scoring wise. Like, he had some really fun games with the Kings. So like, I mean, I would think about it. I'd look into it. I mean, the Bulls need talent. They need that kind of stuff that just upgraded in talent and playmaking and shooting in general. Like, I would at least look into it. I wouldn't give up that much for him, but it's at least semi-interesting, I guess. Would you?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what? It's all about the value. Like, what are you talking about? Right. Not for him?
I don't know. Was he still got? Was this is what first year of a? What he signed? Like,
does Atlanta want Lowry to sign and trade after they lose John Collins in free agency? So, you know,
I don't know. I do not know. I guess looking past that, we'll probably wrap it up here pretty soon. But I was just looking at the rest of the roster. Like, we've talked about Thad. We talked about the young guys. Like, Tomas Satoransky. Kevin O'Connor reported, like, I think the Bulls offer for Alonzo, who knows how legit this was like Sato in seconds. I feel like that's just not going to get it done. But I mean, I'd probably look to sell on a guy like him. I mean, I think the Bulls should be listening on all these veterans. I guess with Thad again, like, you need at least one first. I would probably look for more if you're going to trade that. I mean, he has been so valuable to this team, both on and off the court. I feel like a late first probably doesn't do it. If you're getting towards the lottery, maybe you get a young player in there as well. I think you'd have to at least consider it there. Like in Sato, if you could get a first for like Tomas Satoransky, I think you got to jump on that. Garrett Temple, I can't imagine you're getting anything more than a second. He's supposedly coming back from his... was that ankle injury or something? But I mean, he's fine. He's cheap, fine to keep around. I guess when you get to the like towards the end of this roster, at the bare minimum, I wrote a trade preview thing at Forbes today. We've talked about all this bigger stuff. At the bare minimum, even if it's not maybe not before the trade deadline, after, the Bulls got to do something with the back half of this roster. If at the bare minimum, like, I've had enough of watching Denzel lineups of Kobe, Denzel, and Ryan Arcidiacono off the bench just absolutely suck. Cristiano Felicio, if they don't use this, whatever, $8 million as a trade chip, please buy him out after the trade deadline and bring somebody else in to at least try another big man. Maybe give Devin Dotson some minutes at point guard. Cut Luke Kornet. I mean, just Billy tried another Lowry-Luke Kornet lineup to draw Rudy Gobert out of the paint yesterday. Part of the just disastrous minutes at the start of the second quarter. Just there's at least three or four pieces at the end of this roster that can easily be cycled around. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Chandler Hutchison. We still don't know what's going on with Hutch. Yeah, I mean, he's at this point looking like a total bust of a draft pick. Maybe you move him somewhere else. Maybe you get a second rounder or something. But at the very bare minimum, whether it's before the trade deadline, whether it's in the days after when we're looking at buyout stuff and all that, the Bulls got to change the end of this roster, mix some things up, try some new guys in there, because there's just some dead weight there that the Bulls just don't need to have anymore. And I guess I mentioned Denzel Valentine. If you can get a pick for Denzel Valentine, you're not going to get a first, obviously. If you can get a second, maybe a couple seconds, I don't know. His numbers are down. He's under 34% shooting from three now. He's like 37% overall. Like, his numbers are pretty brutal now after his decent start to the season. So, like, I'm really not sure what you can get for him, but you got to look for it. If you can get something, maybe some team will value his theoretical shooting at this point. But yeah, and just the bottom line again here, as we wrap it up here, this trade deadline preview, the Bulls need to do something. Give me at least one roster change, even if it's not something big. We've talked about some of this pie in the sky, big stuff. They got to at least give me something here in terms of a move. They got to make some type of trade, whether it's for an asset, whether it's for an upgrade, even if it's something super small. You just got to at least show me some signs of life from this front office and looking towards the future, whether it's helping the team make a playoff push or whether it's building that asset base. You got to do something. Can't sit on your hands. Ricky, your final thoughts here as we head into this trade deadline.
Entire back half of the roster has to be gone. I mean, all these guys are worthless. Archie Diacono gone. Chandler Hutchison gone. Felicio gone. Cornette gone. Gafford, I guess you can keep around. He's just a guy to me. Denzel gone. Otto.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Otto gone. Temple, I mean, he's a veteran. Like, he's only on a 1-year contract anyway. So, what are you going to do with that? I want to see some more Adam Makoka. I definitely want to see some more Dotson. And yeah, like, let's see your imprint on this roster, AK, because we know this team that Garpak's put together that you have chosen to keep throughout this entire year, they suck. So thank God Zach leveled up. Otherwise, this entire year would be just a massive, massive bummer. And thank God Thad Young just totally rules. But yeah, dude, they got to turn over this roster. And it's there can't be any excuses made for it anymore. Like, I'm not going to say that I want to see a move for the sake of a move being made, even though, like, in my head, I sort of do want that.
I kind of do.
You definitely sound like
honestly,
you
I do. I just want something.
But
yeah, I just need anything. Just give me something.
You know, even what would be good is just like getting rid of Denzel for a couple picks and like playing Dotson. Like,
right.
Just do that for second round pick. So, yeah, I mean, this roster needs to be seriously turned over. Seriously turned over. And I would include Kobe Lowry and Wendell in that.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. I mean, we just have not seen enough. And as we mentioned, the timeline with Zach LaVine, we're at a point where you just can't wait super long with these guys. And you gotta start getting guys on Zach LaVine's timeline. Obviously, you could say Patrick Williams does not line up with that, but I mean, he's still so young and as a rookie where you can wait for him a little bit. But with these other guys, with Lowry becoming a restricted free agent and his payday coming up, Wendell is eligible for an extension in this offseason. He hasn't shown enough. Kobe has not shown enough that he can be your point guard of the future and be a good pairing with Zach LaVine. You have to think about building with Zach and just his timeline. And it seems like these guys, it just isn't the best fit. It's just not working out. I do think all these guys can play a long time in the league, that they have value, a certain amount of value. Maybe it'll just happen in different spots. Like, I don't think any of them are legitimate game changers. It seems like moving forward or long-term, maybe they do develop into that, but I think ultimately they seem like nice players. They can be good role players. They can have they can have long careers in the NBA, but given that's three, whatever, seven picks in a row, and you just kind of get role players there three times and none of them turn into a star. That's just kind of tough. And like I said, I'm not going to say any of them are busts. Maybe if Carter keeps going the way he is, maybe he will be. I still think he's better than he's shown, but I mean, it's just been a struggle. It's time to do something. It's just time to do something with these guys. You just can't keep waiting. Not with Zach LaVine being so good. If Zach didn't level up this year, like you said, the Bulls would be probably just as bad as they've been in recent years. He's probably given them several extra wins. Thad being great has also probably given them an extra win or two, but if they were just kind of playing like they did last year, like, they'd probably be the
then
same
you'd be
team.
Then you'd be in right tear-down, trade Zach, trade everyone,
right?
Do a
exactly.
Full rebuild, shoot for 2025. And you know what? Maybe that would still be their best path to a championship. I don't think that's totally out of the question. I mean, we got to be honest. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be the path they're going to take. Personally, like, I want to watch some good basketball, so I'm ready to get some good players in here rather
I don't
than
want to tear
some
down
18-year-olds. But... you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen enough that Zach and like veterans can be at least decent. Again, they still haven't beaten like good teams, but like we've seen them at least, like Zach and Thad and like Temple and Saddle like play together and like have some success. Again, not leading to wins against real teams. They do a lot of bum slaying, but like there's at least a path there to being like a decent team, a competitive team, and a fun team to watch, and one that could be a playoff team. So find some more guys that can line up with Zach and that are actually good players, and hopefully the Bulls can actually be a decent team in the coming years. Again, they're not awful this year. They have made progress, but it's time to start making some actual moves here to help Zach LaVine. That's going to wrap us up here. We've been rambling too long about this Bulls team, this NBA trade deadline. I've been trying to watch Twitter here to see if anything breaks during our podcast here. Watch, we'll probably wrap up here and something will happen right as we finish, but we are going to finish here. We're going to wrap up here right now. It is Tuesday night at about 10:30 here. So we'll be on the lookout if there's anything happening here later tonight and over the next couple of days with that trade deadline coming up on Thursday afternoon. So for us here at Cash Considerations, as always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network. Go check out all the great NBA pods, especially with the trade deadline coming up. Tons of great content all across the network. We will do a locker room reaction pod after the trade deadline on Thursday. So that's when we'll be here next for us as well. Obviously, please rate and review us. Please subscribe. Give us those 5-star ratings. Let us know how we're doing. You know where to find us on Twitter. I'm at @Bulls_J. Ricky's at @SBN_Ricky. So for Jason and Ricky, this has been Cash Considerations and Chicago Bulls Podcast. Happy trade deadline week, everybody. Let's go make some moves, AK.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.